Be Not Afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. In a state of lockdown, staying indoors to help flatten the curve. COVID-19, the worldwide pandemic. Fear has overcome so many, Christians and non-believers alike. Let's face it, our life on planet Earth is short. There is no question that we are in a unique time in our history. There is good news, though. Be Not Afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over the coronavirus and everything else for that matter. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Deacon Steve says, instead of seeing this as a time of inconvenience and pain, see it as a new chapter in which God is showering us with a new wineskin of blessings. Be Not Afraid is the brand new book by Deacon Steve Greco. Get your copy today by visiting the website spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. Spiritfilledhearts.org. Available soon. Reserve your copy today. Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. Come see us on this beautiful campus, and wow, am I excited. We have on this show a truly holy man, the president founder of St. Luke Productions, Leonardo De Filippis. Welcome to the show, Leonardo.
Oh, thank you so much, Deacon Steve. It's great to be with you and with all your listeners.
Well, you are doing an absolute amazing things as the president and founder of St. Luke Productions. Tell us what it is that you do as it relates to what are the things you're producing.
Well, what we've done at St. Luke Productions, our original show that we ever produced was on the Gospel of Luke. And so because of that, we took the name St. Luke Productions, and that became our patron, St. Luke. And then from then on, we started continuing to do the Gospels, the Gospel of John, Gospel of two shows on the Gospel of Luke. And then we went into St. Francis of Assisi, and then that just created a whole movement of other saints that we did, St. John of the Cross, St. Augustine, St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Therese, St. Faustina, you know, St. John Vianney, and now Father Tolton, and some others. But we mainly have been focused primarily on the saints, and we peppered in the Gospels there too. But because we've done that, all these things live, because we found that to be really enriching, not just originally for me, I think, to experience, to actually say the words as an actor, as Christ or as the saints, so I could enter into their lives. So St. Luke Productions has been doing that kind of ministry, in inspiration actually by John Paul II, who, you know, started to kind of inspired us to really go out there. And also Mother Teresa, when she wrote me in her little letter, which became a famous thing, you know, do something beautiful for God. I took that as an artist too, not just as a spiritual calling, but to evangelize, you know, to go forward out there into society and to bring something new.
Tell us about your background and how you got inspired to do this ministry.
Well, I always had a kind of a deep desire to try acting, and I got kind of interested in Shakespeare, kind of the classical theater. And so I started auditioning back in my early days, beyond 40 years. I started getting into different places. The ones that would be more familiar down, at least in California, would be Old Globe Theater, and was in Colorado Shakespeare, and Oregon Shakespearean Festival, which is a big one up in the Northwest, and with hopes maybe to go to New York and all those kind of things, and to do some film in Los Angeles, etc. And I was doing all that, and I was, you know, I was really working hard as an artist in terms of that whole learning all the craft and being around some really incredible actors around that are international, et cetera. Some of them went out to movies and television and those kind of things, became famous. But I had a kind of a crisis in my life, and and that was that, you know, I was living the life, as you could see in Hollywood and Broadway, in the theater and the arts, in music. There's a lot of confusion, particularly with the faith, particularly with, you know, morally. And so I got, like a lot of us do, we get caught up into the peer pressure. And so I was part of that whole world. And then, but what happens? God comes into my life, and I have a reconversion back to my Catholic faith that I had abandoned. And because of all of that, I came up with the seed of maybe doing something spiritual. I was thinking the priesthood, of course, religious life, because I wasn't sure where God was calling me. But again, eventually the Holy Spirit, and through a monastery, actually a Benedictine monastery called Mount Angel Abbey in the Northwest in Oregon, that a monk there inspired me to say, why don't you do a sacred show or sacred drama? And that's how this whole thing, and I had no idea that I would continue this in any way. But once I did it and I was asked to do another show, then I started to see, well, maybe I'm called to do this kind of work. I had no one to look to up to because there was no one, there wasn't hardly anyone in the United States of America or North America for that matter who was doing anything spiritual.
And tell us exactly what makes this so unique, and for our listening audience that are perhaps not familiar with your company and with the programs, describe it in detail, for example.
Well, I would say they're one-person shows, first of all. Some of them are a little more technical than others. They might have multi-screen characters coming at you, or they're just solo act, like a Confessions of St. Augustine or something. But what happens is, because it's one person and not a cast where, you know, an actress talking to the stage to another actor, now the other people in the play become the audience themselves. So the saint will start looking directly into your eyes or your eyes. And you feel, as an audience member, that that saint is talking to you. And it's pretty vulnerable. It's pretty intimate. It's very impactful. So what I have found in all my doing movies and television and radio and the different formats, which are all powerful means of evangelization, but what I have found the most impactful format has been live. To do something live, a human person in the image of God speaking to all those other images live. So you're not a participant, you're not a spectator, you're a participant in the that form of art form. So it has a different catalytic message that can inspire other people to, now I want to, after I've seen Jesus talking to me live, now I want to hear about him on the radio, and I want to read more, and I'm going to go to this mission or hear this sermon or go to the sacraments or go to Holy Hour. It's been kind of a catalyst to other things. And we found that to be very impactful, where people, in fact, enter the seminary, they read to the religious life, they maybe leave the sinful life, what they're doing. They'll drop bad boyfriends. All kinds of things have happened. Little miracles, you know. But that's why I found this to be very exciting. It's harder work than some other ministries because you have to, you know, do it live. And live is more dangerous. You can't cut it. You can't change it. It is what it is.
We have many people that have great devotion to the saints, but for many Catholics, they don't necessarily have really much of any devotion. How, when someone comes and experiences your theater and meets a saint in a live performance, what do people expect to see and hear, and how does that impact their ability to really allow saints into their prayer life and to allow saints to perhaps intercede for them?
Well, I think what happens, Deacon Steve, is that people, when they come to our programs, they have all kinds of, a lot of them don't know much. They maybe love a saint, or they have a devotion to them. But they don't know much about their life, and in terms of the whole context, the fullness. And maybe they've read things, too. So they got an idea and everything. But when they come to the actual live drama and witness the saints, they see their struggles, their weaknesses, their kind of arc in their life, how they have to slowly let go in order to embrace Christ and our Blessed Mother in the Church. And so I think it's a kind of an unveiling. And I think the saints, they'll kind of be like, wow, I didn't know that. I feel like, wow, I've really grown to love that saint now. I feel like he's speaking to me. And so I think you see that with, say, a St. Faustina. You hear the, you know, you might read the diary or something, and it's kind of can be pretty overwhelming sometimes, so poignant and everything, but you don't think of the human being. And I think a lot of us, even when I do have done for many decades Christ, you know, you actually see him die right in front of you on the cross. And you see his ribs moving, and you see it's different. You can watch maybe a movie like The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson or something, but to see it live is a different thing, because you all of a sudden, for a moment, you feel like you're witnessing his death. And the same with the saints.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on with Leonardo DeFilippis, the president founder of St. Luke Productions, and we're talking about his performances and his ministry of having saints come alive in theater. And they're really amazing. We highly recommend them. One of the things that you were talking about was the reality, the realness of saints. So many of them, when we say the word saint, we immediately think of perfection. That these people
right.
didn't struggle, they didn't sin, they didn't do anything, you know, that they were just absolutely perfect, and there's no possible way we could be a saint. And yet, that's not true. In Scripture, we're all called to be saints. We're all called to be holy, for sure. We may not be canonized saints within the Catholic Church, but we are all called for this life of holiness. And the saints role model that. And perhaps one word that comes to mind is really a Scripture verse, and that is Hebrews 10:36, is that we need perseverance to receive what God has in store for us. And if nothing else, saints show us perseverance. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You think of St. Paul when he talks about running the race and getting to the going past the finish line. And I think that's important. The saints persevere. And I think what's so beautiful about the saints, you know, from the Gospels, Jesus says, prepare the way, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of God is at hand. So that proclamation of the supernatural, like St. Faustina says, we are eternal beings, but this life we live on this planet is just part of eternity, but it's only a present moment. That's all it is, and we're allowed to be with Christ, to suffer with him, to help this, what you talked about, this perseverance. And I think that perseverance is a window, as they say in the icon world, you know, a window to heaven. The saints are that window that for a minute we see a glimpse of God that gives us hope that we can persevere. And because they persevered through, you know, incredible odds against them, temptations, you know, struggles, you know, all kinds of things, that a lot of sickness, you know, all those kind of, you know, kind of things that happen in normal life happen to them too, sometimes on an extraordinary level. And then we see that perseverance can be miraculous, because God will use many miracles sometimes through the saints to be a witness to us to persevere, even though we can't get attached to miracles in a certain sense, because the goal is that vision of heaven itself.
Amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, we are all called to be holy. It's very clear in Scripture that as Jesus is holy, we are called to imitate Christ. We are called to be his ambassador. We are called to live a life of love, of joy, of peace, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about St. Luke Productions. There's a conference coming up on June 13th that we're very excited about. This conference is called Love of the Father, and what a series of speakers we have. We have Neil Lozano, that many of you perhaps are familiar with, the Unbound Ministry. So he's going to talk about one of the five keys called Love of the Father in his particular talk. We have myself, who will be talking also on this subject on how can we open our hearts to receive God's love. Father Robert Spitzer is head of the Magis Center. He is one of the really great spiritual leaders in Southern California and really beyond throughout the nation and beyond. So he is also on. Lourdes Morales, who is one of our leaders for the Unbound Ministry, and Dr. Sean Tobin, who is a clinical psychologist, and he will focus again on love and mercy. So amazing program on June 13th. Each of our shows, I want to focus on a particular scripture. And for this show, talking about COVID-19, the scripture that I want to focus on is Romans 8:28. And Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Don't worry, don't worry, don't be afraid, do not fear, but know that God is going to use this current situation to bless us. And so the more that we focus in thanksgiving, the more we praise him, the more the miracles will flow. Powered by the Spirit with Leonardo DeFilippis, who is the founder and president of St. Luke Productions. And he does one-act plays, performances throughout the Western U.S.? And how's the scope? How big is the scope?
Well, we go to North America, all of North Canada, America. We've also been to all the states, Alaska, Hawaii, too, but we've also been to Europe, too,
awesome.
To perform in England,
awesome.
Ireland, and Italy, et cetera.
And so how do people get in touch with you?
Well, we're at our website, stlukeproductions.com. You can just look up St. Luke Productions, and you can find us on the web, and, you can learn all about our work and the different plays that we do and the movies.
Now, one of the passions that God has given me, and Leonardo, just to share with you a little bit about this, I had a series of dreams from the Lord, and it's about a year ago, and the Lord said, the most important thing you can do as it relates to the ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is to spread my divine love and my divine mercy worldwide. And in a period of less than a year, we've scheduled 22 conferences. We're now, which is primarily in the Western U.S., but we're now focused on spreading that, literally throughout the country and beyond. But you have been a major, major part of really letting people know about St. Faustina in the performances that you've had. Tell us about that, why you did it, why it was so important, and, of course, a future movie that you're working on.
Well, and that's wonderful that you had those dreams and that you're trying to do something about it. Thank you, St. Joseph.
Amen.
I would say about St. Amen. But St. Faustina goes back to 2000, which is interesting because that's when John Paul II, who was called to be the chosen as the pope that defines divine mercy, establishes it in the church, and also canonizes St. Faustina in 2000. She's the first saint to be canonized in the new millennium. Well, at that time, I was doing a movie on St. Therese in a play and a number of shows, but mainly St. Therese, so who's also a very powerful saint in the history of the canon of the church. So, but I had a lot of young people who had devotion to divine mercy. So I was always fascinated by that. They were playing the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Anniversary, but I was so busy I couldn't do anything on Divine Mercy in terms of artistically, except just personally. So in 2013, we established and opened a show on St. Faustina. I felt called of all the saints that I needed to do her, and it just happened to be the 150th anniversary of her order establishment, that she are, the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. So we opened that, and it was so profound because we found, again, a lot of people don't know St. Faustina as a person, as a human being, and so this show allowed that to happen. And we took a risk, and we decided to show Jesus, too, because it's a multimedia production where Jesus, there's a screen in the background, and all these different characters would appear and disappear. So we said, what is the Divine Mercy about? What is the diary about? What is Faustina about? It's about a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Divine Mercy is his name. So that was the main focus. And so we allowed that to unveil and to happen so that Jesus' words can come to us, that they're so powerful in the diary. And the message, the modern message of, you know, so to speak, of Divine Mercy for our troubled and broken world. So that's one of the kind of the history. And so we stuck with it through thick and thin to make this happen. And it's been a variety of places around the United States. Father Michael Gately, if your listeners ever heard of him from the Marians, he helped me. I sat at the kitchen table for 6 or 7 hours while he just talked to me all about Divine Mercy. And so before I had to write the script and put it all together, you know. So, because it's an hour and a half program, it would take a lot longer to read the diary out loud to everyone. So, but we put it in a modern context too, so there's modern stories that are in that relate to our times that show souls struggling to eventually come to Divine Mercy, because so many, that's what Divine Mercy is about. It's about the most hardened sinner that anyone, even in the worst sinner, you know, the Mary Magdalene to the murderer, the Barabbas type of character, can all have access to God if they just open a crack of the door to God's heart.
And it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand how much God loves us. We take a look at the 8th chapter of Romans. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things. Nothing we've ever done, nothing that we ever could do will separate us from the love of God. We are His children, His adopted children. We can go to Him and say, Abba. As we look at Ephesians 1, and it says, before the dawn of time, we were created to be holy, to be spotless, to receive every spiritual blessing in the heavens. My brothers and sisters, God's divine love, divine mercy is flowing, and it's just so important that we understand that. What is doing these plays? How has that changed your personal spirituality, Leonardo?
Well, I think it's made me slowly fall in love with all these different saints. Also the spiritual dimension of it. Of course, when you perform, there's something that happens when you surrender in the performance itself, so that you can actually feel that the Spirit is using you as a vessel, and you can see almost the outpouring of that going to the people itself. You see the impact when people are weeping and being impacted in many different ways. So there's that side. On a personal level, it helps, I think, you know, because I always say I'm a saint for an hour and a half, and now I'm just a plain old sinner, you know, or something. But I think it does affect you, because it's a matter of, like you mentioned earlier, perseverance. It makes you awaken, you know, when I'm angry with someone or something, and then boom, it comes to me. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, you know, from the Gospel of Luke, because I performed it hundreds of times. You know, so it'll just come to me, you know, just like that. And the same thing with the different saints' words. They are always reminders. St. John Vianney, you know, that God holds everything in his hands. We don't hold anything. We don't control anything. And anything that we do good, any accomplishment, you know, and when you're in ministry, new evangelization, a lot of times there's great temptations to those who are spiritual instruments, because you sometimes take pride in doing it, or the accomplishments or the miracles that you witness and all these things. But that it's a distraction, because you realize, like the saints, that we do nothing. Only God does everything. And so that's how the saints look at it. And so you're constantly being, so to speak, reprimanded and awakened and called to joy or joyfulness again in the presence of God. So it's made me pray. It's made me think. I think that Faustina is so wonderful, because what's been communicated by God is, Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
And ultimately, that is the message for life. To live on this planet, to believe in God, even though you don't see him, so to speak, You have to trust him. You have to trust looking at the Eucharist. You have to trust in the rosary. You have to trust in going into your closet and being quiet. You know, is anything going to happen? Yes, it will, but we have to trust. And I think in the worst moments of life, even in an Auschwitz like a Maximilian Kolbe, what does he do? He trusts. He
Amen.
Trusts in Jesus and Our Lady. So I think that's what the saints have, at least in terms of knowledge, in terms of call to holiness, as you mentioned, that's always a constant struggle.
It is a constant struggle, and we are called again to live out our faith, our baptism, to be priest, prophet, and king. We are called to make a difference, but it is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. My brother and I, my brother Bill, I ask him periodically, I say, Bill, why is life so difficult? And his answer always is, because it's supposed to be. In order for us to really earn that crown of life, we are going to go through trials and be persecuted and have all kinds of challenges. And that's what Jesus told us. But he said, you know, just know I am with you till the end of time. I give you my Holy Spirit. I give you my grace. You know, take your yoke upon me and know that I will help you, right? In Philippians, it says, I am your strength. You know, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. And so it's just so important that we understand that. But it's also important to understand that we are called. One of my favorite scriptures is John 15:16. It is not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit. And that's exactly what you're doing, Leonardo, with St. Luke Productions. Thank you for your yes. You know, one of my favorite close friends, favorite priests, Father Ben Tran, we say to each other, thank you for your yes. And I have to say thank you for your yes, because you have a decision to make. You could go in the secular world. You could have done that many years ago, but you've decided to remain focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your yes, and thank you for deciding to do St. Luke Productions for all these many years.
Well, I thank you for your yes to allow us to say yes to the people out there. But no, it's been an honor. It's humbling, and we don't know where this will all lead, but we just keep going forward to the end so that God will be glorified.
Amen. And, you know, you recently wrote about mission and vision and how these words are important to you and what you do at St. Luke Productions. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think when I started this, you know, a lot of people said, what keeps you going all these years, you know, through four decades and all this labor? And I always thought, you know, vision, what is vision? You know, for me, it's a personal thing. You know, I think vision has to do, when I look at the Gospels and the lives of the saints, it's a desire for God. It's a desire for, as you mentioned, holiness. It's a desire for heaven, even if we don't totally understand it. It's really, in the end, it's a desire for a person. That's Jesus Christ. So I think that's a vision. And it's kind of like a fire within the saints, for sure. And it's like the woman, and we're like the woman in the gospel who just touches the garment, you know, that we don't feel worthy, but we just touch him so that we're close to God, you know. So that's, I think, the vision and the mission. I always, evangelization is the mission, of course, and I always define it as what St. John Paul II said. He says, what is evangelization? It's simple. He says, it's making Christ seen and heard. So when I do this ministry, it allows me to say, yes, we're going to make Christ seen, the saints seen, and we're going to listen to them. We're going to hear the words. And so that's always what's driven me, maybe all these years, to try to keep going. And be it if I perform for a crowd of 3,500 people, or I'm just in a prison performing, which I have done, to prisoners, women and men, but maybe even to cloistered monastery of women, you know, or Trappist monks, you just realize that God's word is powerful and his saints are powerful, no matter if you're in Bethlehem or if you're in Jerusalem, so to speak, because nothing's impossible with God.
Amen, 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 and alleluia. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about your role in sharing the good news.
Friend, if you're a regular listener to Deacon Steve Greco, we all know what an amazing motivator he is. Well, would you like to get access to more content from Deacon Steve Greco? We encourage you to come find his Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com, and type in Spirit-Filled Hearts. There you'll find Deacon Steve's Patreon page and find out how to get access to content from audiobooks to exclusive interviews and access to Deacon Steve's amazing live talks at conferences and retreats. This is good stuff. So again, visit patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com, and simply type in Spirit-Filled Hearts and our logo will pop up. Come on by. You'll be glad you did.
We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with the president and founder of St. Luke Productions, Leonardo DeFilippis. It is such a blessing to have you on our show, Leonardo, and I can't wait to see your productions. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen them yet, but I definitely will be because I believe 100% in what you're doing. I've heard so many great things about them, and you know, your productions and what you're doing with your films and obviously your various productions of saints, you're evangelizing, you know, and the word evangelization means good news. And in the previous segment, you talked about St. John Paul II. He said it was the supreme duty of the church to evangelize. In fact, what a lot of people aren't aware is that the church was created to share the good news, to evangelize. And all of us, as virtue of our baptism to be priest, prophet, and king, we are called to, as a prophet, to evangelize, as a priest, to evangelize, and certainly as part of the kingdom of God. And so how do you answer that call in St. Luke Productions?
Well, you know, initially, listening to your words, you know, that kind of message from the gospel, proclaim the gospel, you know, to all, the good news to all nations, I started this out with, I did the Gospel of Luke, of course, and I thought, well, why don't we do this for everybody? We'll try. So I would perform for every denomination, you know, the Gospels, and some, you know, would watch me to see, make sure I did everything verbatim and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then we were able to get sometimes into the secular world. I was able to do this, you know, at the, in the prisons, which was really interesting, you know, to have so many broken people performing for murderers and rapists and all kinds of criminals, you know, women and men. And then, you know, doing like, for instance, I even went to a cerebral palsy center, I remember, that was in Seattle, Washington. And here they are, you know, they, this is before computers. They'd have beads and everything to communicate with, and they couldn't speak. And you know, when I got to the point of blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, I did the Beatitudes, you know, all of a sudden there was complete silence in their bodies. And they, I realized I was crying as Jesus performing because I realized they are poor in spirit. You know, they're in their bodies trapped, so to speak, and yet they're precious in God's eyes. So what I got to see in evangelization was the variety of places and peoples and ethnic, you know, to perform for all Koreans or all Hispanic population or all Vietnamese or, you know, all African Americans, or, you know, you saw the universality, how God loves all people. And I think that drove me to try to do that, even, you know, where we would try to do that in the secular world if we could, which is hard, you know, as you know, in any kind of ministry. So that really was my, I think, a passion in me. And then when I did St. Francis of Assisi, I know for years, and then because he was known and loved by a wider group, be it liberal or conservative, you know, I always loved that. I loved to go to every type of, you know, that maybe they say that maybe it's a Latin traditional mass people, and then it's the other side of the coin where people are, you know, kumbaya, and they're singing all kinds of things and clapping and using drums or whatever. That, you know, I love going to either place because it let the gospel speak, let the saints speak. they can say it much better than I can. So it's, I never do a sermon. I only do what the saints or the gospel say. So that's been it's been a powerful, powerful experience. And I know it has been for the different women saints who have played for St. Therese, St. Faustina, as well as the other actors who've been on our staff over the years. You know, they've had the same profound experiences in evangelization.
Which saints have inspired you the most in your pursuit of holiness?
Well, that's a hard one to say because, in a sense, they're all, you know, Christ is the personality of all the saints, but each saint is only a part of the personality of Christ. You know, one's an extrovert, one's an introvert. Jesus is both. And he has the feminine side, the male side, you know, St. Therese, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, to where Augustine. So how I answer that, when I do the confessions of Augustine, say, for example, St. Augustine is a very modern story, even though it was written, you know, near 400 A.D., and you go, wow, this is like what's happening today. You know, I can relate to this, this conversion. But, you know, you have St. Maximilian Kolbe, who has an incredible devotion to our Blessed Mother. That attracts me so much as a man. But then on the other side, you have St. Faustina, who has an incredible devotion to the man, Divine Mercy, Jesus Christ. So that draws me that way. So each of these saints, or St. Therese of Lisieux, what a powerful, simple saint, but so strong and so insightful. Or John Vianney. I'd say John Vianney is one of the surprising saints. He's the patron saint of our priests, right? But I would venture to say the majority of our listeners right now know nothing about John Vianney.
Tell us about him.
He is probably one of by tradition, he'd be the dumbest seminarian in church history. And what happened, because he couldn't understand Latin, he was a farmer, was uneducated in France, right, during the Revolution, the French Revolution. And what happens with this poor man is, you know, he eventually is able to become a priest. They're desperate to have priests, so they make accommodations for him to be ordained. He ends up not even being allowed to do confessions for almost 9 months after he's ordained, because they think he's too stupid, too dumb. And so what happens is, he becomes the greatest confessor in the history of the church. He did more confessions than any other priest in history. So God has a sense of humor. So when you see this, and it's probably, he may be one of the most attacked saints of all time by the devil. So it's a pretty incredible story. There's many saints that were attacked by the devil, but John Vianney, so he's kind of like a surprise. You can't believe this man, what he went through and what he says. You know, you might have Augustine say a whole sermon, or a Thomas Aquinas say a whole summa, but John Vianney says it in one sentence.
Why is it so important for us to learn in terms of growing our faith, growing spiritually? Why is it so important for us to study the saints or to be aware of what happened to them?
Well, I think, you know, Jesus is the gospel, right? But where there's a tradition in Catholic tradition is we call the saints the living gospels. They live out the gospels. Like St. Francis of Assisi, the Alter Christus, the other Christ. I think it's important because we can relate to them. They're part of our family. It's like, you know, say Papa, as you mentioned, Abba is father, right? But we got the brothers and sisters, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, the nephews, the nieces, all of that. Those are the saints. And we love our uncles and aunts, and we're worried about them and all those kind of things. When we look to those saints, they help us in so many different situations. Their wisdom, what they said, what they went through, their timing in our lives. We get introduced to them. Sometimes we didn't know them that well. So I think they become a loving family. Pope John Paul II, he inspired me in many ways to do this evangelization. I don't know if I would have done it before, or Mother Teresa who encouraged me. Those two powerful saints, modern saints, of course, but they affected me, and I tried it best I could to live out their agenda, so to speak.
So how did they encourage you?
Well, I think one was for Mother Teresa. She was more like, don't be afraid. Do this for the love of God. Do this for the poor, too. And so that made me, really called me. And we had a correspondence of a number of years of writing each other. And, you know, and that always encouraged me, because of, I said that she practices what she preaches. So that's what gave me hope as a young person. John Paul II was an incredible artist in terms of his vision for the church. And so what he said, I would eat up. I would read everything he would do, especially his message to artists, and I would try to live out that as best I could and make our ministry, St. Luke Productions, based off the guidance, mentorship, and foundation of Pope John Paul II. So that's what he would do for me in terms of, you know, do not be afraid to go and do these saints. Even if I have people say, oh, Leonardo, don't do that, or don't do that saint, you know, or something like that, that which has happened. You know, I say, no, I feel called by God to do it. We're going to do it. I don't care if they like it or not. We're going to do the saint. So I think John Paul, who was also fearless, and he's still a great leader for all of us.
For so many people, we don't understand the power of prayer and the power of prayer to include praying with our saints, praying with obviously the Blessed Mother, but our doctrine of communion of saints is just so important for us to understand. To, you know, as I pray, I invoke various saints as the Holy Spirit leads me to pray with me and to intercede with me. Why is that so important?
Well, I think it's important because we all have needs. And I think we desire God, but sometimes God can be abstract to us in terms of, because we can't see, no eye has seen or heard or seen. But I think the saints, we feel an affection for them, a relationship that we can trust them. And so we're drawn to them. Sometimes we, like the other day, I was just picking up, I'll ask, when I have a crisis, what do? I'll start saying a Hail Mary. I mean, I still, Our Lady, please help me. You know, if in the windstorm, snowstorm, or whatever, it might be as simple as that, or it's a major crisis, or someone's dying. But on the other side, you know, I think of, you know, the forgotten Saint Joseph. I was reading prayers on him, and then I started reading the saints like Saint Teresa of Avila, who had an incredible devotion to Saint Joseph. And then she's kind of my little window and door to open up to Saint Joseph. And then I start praying to him because she is leading, you know, him to, you know, to me. And so she said, trust him. He'll help you. You know, like you said, there's a natural when you're praying, even, you know, when we say the rosary, the decades, everybody's got a little ending sometimes. You know, we'll say in our family, Our Lady of Guadalupe, which were, you know, pray for us, or, you know, St. Therese, pray for us. You know, I guess the other day was Our Lady of Lourdes feast, so we'll say St. Bernadette, pray for us. So there's a respect for those saints and also a calling out to them, that we need their help.
Amen. And we need their help. I mean, for so many of us, my brothers and sisters, is that, you know, we look to one another, and Jesus is about family. Jesus is about community, you know, and you look at the Trinity. I mean, you look at the 12 apostles, you look at families, and, you know, if you look at the second chapter of Acts, you know, it's so important that we understand that God has called us in the community. And, you know, so many times we forget the fact that we're called to pray for one another. And as we take a look at Acts, we look at the communal life, which is Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the communal life in the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would praise God, enjoy favor with all the people, and every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So to be in community and to go in community to, for example, the events, performances that St. Luke's production has, to go with your friends and to talk about it, what does this mean to you, is very, very important. And we're going to be right back to talk more about how you can see these productions coming into an area near you. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
365 Days of Praise, a daily guide toward transformation through praise by Deacon Steve Greco. May 31st, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord roam over the whole earth to encourage those who are devoted to Him wholeheartedly. We all have times when we feel a bit forsaken and alone. I like to call it a pity party. This is definitely not of the Lord. Of course, as is often the case, the spiritual truth is the exact opposite. God is always with us, ready to bless and encourage. Our role is to seek His face and presence through prayer. God is always watching us and waiting to show His love. He does that through His Word, His servants, His beautiful world, and everything else He wants to use. When we say yes to His love, Jesus sends His angels and the Holy Spirit to guide and be with us. I praise and bless You, God, for watching over me and sending me Your love through the Holy Spirit. Do you feel God's presence watching you? What do you feel when you meditate on His presence? 365 Days of Praise, a daily guide toward transformation through praise by Deacon Steve Greco. 365 Days of Praise is available now on Amazon Books or at SpiritFilledHearts.org. That's SpiritFilledHearts.org.
With a very, very holy man, Leonardo DeFilippis. I know for most of us when we hear, I'm holy. No, I'm not holy. But bottom line is we are holy because Jesus made us holy by His death and resurrection on the cross. And when we say yes to Him, we take on His mantle. We take on that holiness. And as long as we keep focused on Him, we go to reconciliation, we wipe clean the sins, we go to Mass, take on, obviously, receive the body and blood of Christ, and we receive His blessings, His holiness. So, so important. And when we think about St. Luke Productions, it's growing in holiness when we attend these particular performances. And we're so blessed that you're coming into our area here in Southern California. Tell us about when that is and where you're going to be and what productions you're going to have.
Well, what's happening right now immediately is Father Tolton, the first black priest who's up for canonization, is in the Los Angeles Archdiocese for the first time. So it'll be, it just was at St. Andrew's in Pasadena, and it's going to American Martyrs in Manhattan Beach, and then it'll be a private show for the seminary, St. John's in Camarillo. So that's really exciting for the first time for it to be him to be welcomed. He's an incredible future saint. So, and then we're also, and that you can look at our calendar. It's right on stlukeproductions.com to look at the and go to the calendar button there, and you can just find out where it is for those who are in Los Angeles or in Southern California to see that incredible show. But we're also trying to get shows for St. Faustina. So if there's anybody out there who wants St. Faustina, right now there's interest in Downey and near Temecula out there, that area, and possibly in Orange County, but we're trying to get it in Southern California because we realize we're just scratching the surface. You know, there's so many people down there that need to witness divine mercy and to witness St. Faustina. And so we're hoping that California will rise up, especially Southern California will rise up for divine mercy and welcome the show because it can be a catalyst for all the other ministries that are happening down there. And so that's why we're excited to make an effort. We love California. I'm originally from California, so I have a concern about it. I think California needs a little help down there spiritually. So,
I would say that's true everywhere, right?
Well, it's, yeah, but we'll do it right after the Oscars. You know, we want to bring divine mercy and see if we get to see Faustina to be on the. You know, maybe get the. You know, one of the supporting roles there, but we'll see.
Well,
but anyway.
Yeah, it's so important. And now, how do we get you into our areas. We're throughout the Western United States on 48 stations. So people hearing about you perhaps weren't aware of you. And again, give your website again and maybe a telephone number if that fits. But how do we get you in the various areas that we represent here on the radio?
Of different places all over the United States, but the best way is if you're interested in this, to find, you know, call us. That'd be 360-687-8029, 360-687-8029. And also go to the website. You can find us right there with the number and email us too if you want to, which is stlukeproductions.com. And by doing that, you're basically, a lot of times lay people will bring it to their pastors to see if they can open the door for these saints to come in. And that's usually the key, or into your university to be able to, or into the high school to reach the young people, or into special events. The main thing is to really, you know, get a hold of us, because as the Deacon Steve has mentioned, these things are really important and very impactful and very powerful. But they're also, as you've mentioned many times during this, they're holy. There's a sense of holiness, or odor of holiness, and a presence of holiness that can be imparted to the people to help them persevere in their trials and tribulations. So I definitely encourage everyone to, you know, get a hold of us here at St. Luke Productions so that we can start a dialogue. Because you're right, most people don't know who we are. We're still, you know, in a sense, a grassroots thing. It's unique because it's live, and there's not, we're the longest lasting, you know, Catholic theater company in the United States, and that doesn't say very much. We're like a big fish in a tiny little pond, and I think it's a movement of evangelization that has not been used by the church.
I agree,
so
and we're very blessed to feature you on our show, Empowered by the Spirit, because it is allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through these productions. It's so important. But let's walk through it maybe in a little bit more detail. Someone's listening right now. In fact, right now the Holy Spirit's telling me there are many people listening right now that say, hey, I want a program, a show on St. Therese or on St. Faustina or one of the other saints that you're currently doing, St. Maximilian Kolbe, whatever it might be. I'm really interested in that, really interested in that for my parish. I know a lot of our audience is inspired, as I'm inspired, in listening to you, Leonardo, and since we cover a number of different cities and states and so forth, let's say they want to go to their pastor, they want to go to the priest, they want to say, hey, this is a great idea, I'd love to get St. Luke Productions into our parish. I think you had said earlier you need to have at least five locations, five perhaps different churches or schools or whatever it might be, and maybe they could work. For example, we have deaneries here. Maybe a deanery decides to do it. So how does it work in terms of, okay, we make a decision, we come up with some areas, five, let's say, locations, then what happens?
Well, then we pick a date that's the best date for, you know, the parish and for the tour to happen. And then once that is selected and that's approved, then we send all kinds of materials to you and in order to get the logistical stamp, you know, all going in terms of when we arrive, when we set up, you know, in terms of promotion of that for the community. We give all kinds of PR tools. But the main thing is, you know, to get a pastor or a leader or a president or whoever it might be who makes the decisions to open the door to these saints, you know, you want to attract them. Maybe you show them one of our trailers of the shows, you know, just to get them interested. A lot of times you might go to, say, the Knights of Columbus, get them excited to say, we'll get behind this, we'll help support that, you know, to get it coming to our community. In many different movements, a lot of times it's just, you know, lay people, but sometimes it's a priest or a sister who organizes, or sometimes it's a bishop, you know, so it's a matter of sometimes bringing it to the bishop and saying, or the vocation director and saying, we want to get this behind. This could do a lot of good for the diocese. And that's what we do work with a lot of dioceses. But if it's just you're a parishioner or you're listening just right now and you have a parish, you want it to come, then, you know, you want to contact us and see if we can get the ball rolling.
And again, the contact information is what?
It's 360-687-8029, and also on our web, stlukeproductions.com. You can call us from there or email us, and we'll send you information.
So the price for the tickets, does it vary, or is it a set price?
They defray the cost through free will offerings and sponsorships.
Okay.
Or it's done by ticket donations, or it's done by tickets. You know, they might have prices from, it might be $5 all the way to $20, $25. It depends on the needs and situations of each place.
Okay.
So it's used for fundraisers also, to help different ministries also.
So the bottom line is that you work with them individually as it relates to how they want to do it and the economics and how that works.
Exactly. Exactly. And sometimes somebody will want us to say, come to a Catholic school, and, because they have no exposure to the saints, very little sometimes. And so sometimes there'll be, a sponsor that wants that to happen, and they'll fund the whole thing just to come to a school, because a lot of schools don't have the funds oftentimes. So we're always looking for that, people who really care about evangelization, who want to bring these saints to, to neglected groups, even if it's inner city. That can be tremendous, because they never get hardly anything. And we could bring it to the poor, in that regard, as well as, people in all different ethnic groups.
My brothers and sisters, you've been on Spirit-Filled Hearts here with Leonardo DeFilippis, who is the president and founder of St. Luke Productions. And these Catholic theater productions of focusing on the saints, such as St. Teresa, St. Therese, Maximilian Kolbe, St. Faustina, various other saints that he has. You can go to his website again, stlukeproductions.com, and check it out. But we strongly endorse bringing him into your area or attending the event when he comes to your area. And it has been a big blessing having you on the show, Leonardo, and hope to do it again in the future.
I hope so, too. And God bless you in your ministry, in your radio show, and also for all your listeners. I'll pray for each and every one of them.
Thank you so much. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for St. Luke Productions, for Leonardo DeFilippis, for all the people working with him and all the actors, all the production crew. And we pray, Lord God, that be an instrument of even greater evangelization, even greater miracles. And we pray for the gift of evangelization to be within each of our hearts and souls as we are used by you, Lord Jesus, to be instruments of your love and instruments of sharing your good news wherever we may go. God bless us and bless our families and bless us in every way. And I bless you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, through all the holy angels and saints, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you have been on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Be not afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. In a state of lockdown, staying indoors to help flatten the curve. COVID-19, the worldwide pandemic. Fear has overcome so many, Christians and non-believers alike. Let's face it, our life on planet Earth is short. There is no question that we are in a unique time in our history. There is good news, though. Be not afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over the coronavirus and everything else for that matter. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Deacon Steve says, instead of seeing this as a time of inconvenience and pain, see it as a new chapter in which God is showering us with a new wineskin of blessings. Be Not Afraid is the brand new book by Deacon Steve Greco. Get your copy today by visiting the website spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. Spiritfilledhearts.org. Available soon. Reserve your copy today.